Hey guys, and welcome to the Strong Tower Mental Health Podcast, where you will be inspired, encouraged, and transformed with powerful teachings and real stories of mental health. This podcast is not a substitute for counseling. If you are in a crisis, call or text your local crisis center or visit suicidepreventionlifeline.org. Jesus is in our mental health, and freedom is where we start. I am your host, Heidi Mortensen, licensed marriage and family therapist. Get ready. Today's show's going to bring you hope. Hello, and welcome to the Strong Tower Mental Health Podcast. I am your host, Heidi Mortensen, licensed marriage and family therapist. I'm going to talk about diagnoses today. What do you think about diagnoses? Do you think that they're helpful or do you think that they're hurtful? How do we know the difference? How do we know if a diagnosis is helping? How do we know if it's hurting? I've heard that some churches say that a diagnosis, it means that you're being cursed and that it's causing more problems by even getting the diagnosis. Well, I'm going to dive into this controversial topic and I'm going to give us some ways of how we know, is a diagnosis helping or hurting? So let's pray. Holy Spirit, we welcome you into this episode. I thank you for this opportunity to even speak on this topic, and I just surrender it to you. I do not take this lightly. And so I just pray for every single person listening that they take everything I say to you and to their doctor, that they don't take anything as, oh, this is what, you know, she's a licensed therapist, so I'm going to take this, but that we can hold this loosely and give it to you, God. And so I just pray that what I say can be edifying, it can be uplifting, it can be energizing, and that you are in it, that there's nothing of me that's in this. As Galatians 5:1 says, that it is for freedom that Christ has set us free, that we can stand firm and we don't let ourselves be burdened again by a yoke of slavery. And so many of us are in that place of slavery. So I pray for freedom over us. I pray for healing from depression, from anxiety, from PTSD, from issues in our relationships, that we can be more like you and less of the world, that we have eyes to see and ears to hear, and we can operate in this place of freedom in every place that we are. I thank you for this opportunity to even speak this. And so I just pray for your ears to be encouraged and edified, and that anything that I say it's not helpful, that you can let it go. And we just thank you, God. Amen. Before I get into this episode, I want to remind you of the women's retreat that is at the end of this month called the Extraordinary Women's Retreat, which is going to be a time of empowerment, connection, and really experiencing some time of God's presence, peace, and connection with other women. The dates are April 26th through 27th. This is 2024. Registration includes messages from 7 speakers. There's new breakfast and lunch and break time snacks on Saturday. Opportunities for new friendship, there'll be prayer, and there will be amazing, amazing worship. One of our speakers is Susie Larson, who is a national well-known speaker and has written so many books, I can't even count. I will be Friday night, and I'm going to be doing the altar call after Jessica Stone speaks, and then I also will be speaking on Saturday. And one of the things that I would say about this is I've really just been feeling like God has been showing me this desire of Him for us to break self-hate and to move into this place of loving ourselves. It's just something that He's been showing me so far, and just laying it all down for Him, but how we do that as well. So I hope that you can come. The website is www.discovermyinsidestory.com, and I will be there. There'll be lots of book tables as well, and Susie will be signing books. So if you come on Saturday morning to see her and you buy a book from her, she will be signing it. So before I get into this episode, I do want to give kind of an informed consent or a warning that yes, I am a licensed therapist, but this episode podcast does not mean that you can leave this and say, oh, I don't have a diagnosis, or I do have a diagnosis. So I really want to make sure that if there's something that's stirring in you that you are questioning, because it might bubble up some things in you, that you still make sure to go to professional and don't just take what I'm saying as like, a licensed therapist said this, and this is one of the hesitations I have by even being a therapist, having a podcast, is I don't want people taking what I'm saying and then just run with it and go with it. It is so important that we filter everything through the Lord, that we go to the Word of God, and that we spend time in worship, that we can hear from God ourselves, and that we're not just allowing what some person says. Again, I'm saying that even myself, that an expert says, and that we really put God above what anybody else says. And so part of what I'm really hoping for today is that by the end, we all have a better kind of take on being able to hold the tension of a diagnosis and what God says about us. God ultimately is the healer. God ultimately is our deliverer. Even if you go see somebody who does inner healing and deliverance and you get freedom, they didn't heal you. God did. Okay? They didn't deliver you. God did. Jesus is still the one that's doing the healing and that's doing the deliverance. And I think this is sometimes what we can get caught up in, because we see the man of God, the woman of God, or this therapist or this expert or this person, they're the one that's doing all of this. And we've got to give credit where credit is due when those good things happen. It is God. God gets the glory for that. And so I just want to make sure that we're putting God on the throne and not anybody else. So sometimes a diagnosis actually can help, and sometimes it can hurt. And we're going to talk about that today. What is a diagnosis? Like, how do you even get a diagnosis? Well, you get a diagnosis if you have enough of the symptoms for the criteria for what the DSM, the Diagnostical Statistical Manual of Mental Health Disorders, and they've had many different versions of this. And this book gives the symptoms of a certain diagnosis. For example, major depressive disorder, or anxiety disorder, or adjustment disorder, or post-traumatic stress, or dissociative identity disorder. There's all sorts of different diagnoses. And then within each of these, they have different, like, you know, caveats within it. You know, is this alcohol induced? Or is this from a certain situation? Is it acute? Okay, which means that it just happened just right now, and it's recent. And so there's all these different things that you can have to actually get a diagnosis. And we can get really caught up in this, and we can get sucked into it, and that can be what's most important. And we can lose sight of what God says, and even just getting free. Like, we can forget that God actually desires for us to get free, and that we can be free. Because we're in that place of the heavy symptoms, the heavy difficulties, the heavy trauma, and we don't have that sight of where God has been. This is why it is helpful, if you can get a diagnosis, to get the right help, to get the right treatment. I've got a quote from Wendy Backlund. She's written a book about heavenly emotions, and she talks about that one way that we can end up on the wrong battlefield, so we're just fighting the wrong fight, is that we incorrectly diagnose the true issue or problem. So if the problem hasn't been diagnosed properly, then we won't be able to solve it. Okay, so she's talking about problems. Obviously, I'm talking about diagnoses here, but we've got to be able to know, okay, here are all the symptoms, here's what I'm struggling with, to be able to know, okay, how can I actually get the right help? And what can I do with this? The other side of this is that if we're going after problem, and we're struggling so much with our mental health issues that we forget the sight of God actually says that it's for truth that I've set you free. The truth will set you free, and that God actually wants us to be free, and that's why he died on the cross for us. So we lose sight of the power of the gospel and what Jesus intended for us. Joe Rogan is a very popular podcaster, and he had on a gal named Abigail Schreier with the book that she just wrote called Bad Therapy. Again, I'm not saying I agree with everything that she wrote or everything that Joe Rogan talks about. But something that she said on her episode talking about this was that sometimes we need to hear from somebody to suck it up. And I'm sharing this because my dad actually will say this to my kids sometimes. And it's one of those things where when you hear it, you can get really offended. You know, you can get offended like, oh my gosh, like, how can you say that? And that's not okay. But then there's some of you listening that are like, yeah, that's what we need. So we have this extreme where we can go on either end of some of these controversial discussions, and we can't get into that healthy tension of what God actually is wanting for us. And what to give a little more detail of what this author was talking about, she said that some kids never hear suck it up. So she's just saying that like one person in their life needs to be saying something like that. So you're getting different messages from different people, that you'll have some people that are, you know, comforting you and providing that love and that the hug and the physical affection and the I love yous and a lot of verbal affection as well. And that in the midst of that comfort, that you do also have somebody else challenging it to help you to build those resilient skills. Because if we don't have the resilient skills, it is very easy for us to just stay stuck in this is my diagnosis, and you live for it for the rest of your life, and you don't have any of that hope or belief that it can actually get better. All right, so let's start with I have five things here. The first one, how do you know if your mental health diagnosis is helping or if it's hurting? Well, the first one, and this is a big one in the mental or in the Christian faith, is your mental health diagnosis an idol? And an idol is where something has become bigger than God. It's where something is on the throne and God is not. You know, so we can say something like, well, my anxiety this, or my depression this, or it's because of my diagnosis that I can't do this. And that it comes before God. So if you can focus on, okay, these are my symptoms, this is my diagnosis, this is what I'm struggling with. And if you can see that, if we can separate yourself and see the diagnosis and then see Jesus, and if you can allow yourself to see both of them and just say, okay, God, who is bigger? And I have a feeling that some of you, your feeling is that the diagnosis feels bigger. And this is why the word is God is so important, because the word of God is bigger even though we don't feel it. God is more powerful even if we don't feel it. And this is why we have to go after healing, why we get inner healing, deliverance, we get counseling, so we can get at this, that if it feels bigger to have this diagnosis, that we can allow the truth of what God says and the word of God to become bigger. So this is where people, when they start to get mature in their faith, they're able to stand on the word, even though they see and they feel something different. And this takes time. This is not something that I would say can happen overnight. Even I sometimes I'm like, God, I'm struggling with my circumstances, even though I know your word says this. But what I'm doing is I'm still admitting, and I'm still getting out there and saying to God, like, I know your word says that I am to live free, but I don't feel it. Help me to get there. Who do I go to? Who do I get help from? What are the lies that I'm believing? What is the correct kind of diagnosis and the root that I can help to get out of this so I don't continue to keep feeling this way? Oh, Heidi, or whoever it is, you have that trauma that you dealt with that you haven't ignored, that you've been ignoring. I need you to go talk to somebody about that. Or, oh, you know, you haven't been honoring this person and I've asked you to honor them. I've asked you to forgive them and you continue to keep having bitterness towards them. This is where God's talking and saying, I'm reminding you of these things. Or, hey, I know this wasn't your fault and I need you to help somebody to fight this and just to tell the enemy to get off, because the enemy's on illegal territory right now. Okay, so it's where we have to be able to pull in the word to be able to identify in our life, is the diagnosis bigger than God? And so I'm just going to give some of you a chance right now to actually repent if this is something that you're doing. And I just want you to just say out loud, God, I repent for making my mental health symptoms, my diagnosis bigger than you, for making it an idol. And God, we thank you for forgiveness. We thank you, Jesus, that you died on the cross for our sins, even for our mental health symptoms, for whatever we're feeling. And so I thank you for the power of the blood of Jesus that's covering us, the power of forgiveness. And I pray that you can speak to every single person that just repented and show them the truth of who you are. And just take a second if you can and just let God speak to you and let God tell you the truth. So we want to replace it with the truth that you are loved, you are worthy, you are enough. It's not your fault. You didn't cause it. Thank you, Holy Spirit. And number two is, Are you improving or are you changing? There should be some change, even if it isn't good. Sometimes things have to get a bad change allows you to actually get the real help that you need. You know, it could lead you to that right deliverance minister or instead of continuing counseling if you've had it for years. Again, I'm a therapist myself, so I believe in counseling. But what I see is that sometimes we can get stuck in counseling for years and there's not change. We're really just allowing that therapist to help us to manage our symptoms. And here's what I would say about that. If you're okay with that, if you're okay with continuing to see a counselor and to just manage your symptoms to help things not get worse, that's okay. I don't want to judge that. And I say that because I've been that person judging that and saying, okay, let's go for freedom. Jesus says we can be free. And what God has shown me is he's like, Heidi, some people don't want that and they're not ready for that. So what I believe and I know what God can do, I'm pushing at them when they're not ready. There's too much hurt still there, and there's too many walls that need to come down to even let that in. So again, I know what I believe and I know what God says, but sometimes you are going to be better off by just managing that and not making it worse. Okay, again, I don't say this for everyone. I've worked with people with really, really tough symptoms and a lot of dissociative symptoms where it's this pattern of really unhealthy choices and thoughts and not having healthy people in their life. So it's something that's very hard to manage. And so even some of you, I don't want you to judge that. Again, this is where we pray, where we pray and we say, God, you come in and you're the one that does the work. But free will is so powerful, you guys. This is what I've learned as a therapist. Like, you've got to want the freedom yourself. You have to be the one that's saying, I want the freedom, God. I am tired of this. I want freedom. So even though me as a therapist is like, I want freedom for you, I can't want it more than the client. And I totally have done that. And when I do that as a therapist, I'm actually causing more harm. Yes, it's great when you're like, oh yeah, somebody believes in me more than I do for a season. That's great for a season, for a time that somebody holds the hope for you. But years and years, now we've got a different situation. Okay. So one thing that I would say about this, if you're trying to see, like, I'm not improving, am I? There are some assessments that you can do. Again, I'm not a fan of doing these all the time, but it can be so helpful. If let's say you do an assessment, there's anxiety assessments and depression assessments. You can just Google them. Like the PHQ is 9 is one for depression, and you could just Google it and get a free one online. And the GAD-7 is for anxiety. Just search this. And you can have an improvement of like 3 or 4 points. And we can praise God for that. And it can give you hope that you're like, oh my gosh, like after a month of like working on these things, I've been in my devotion, I've been worshiping, I'm seeing growth. So we say, thank you, God. Okay, so we're taking the depression and it's going down a little bit. It can really be very encouraging to see the measurement and the shift. This is where a diagnosis can be helpful. Symptoms can be helpful to be able to recognize how you're doing, but we've got to see some sort of change. Okay. Even if it's bad, then you can identify why is it getting bad? Like what's happening? What's going on? What else do I need to do? And so we want to see some sort of growth, some sort of change to be able to know, okay, is this actually helping me or not? And number 3 is, are you focusing on the right issue? Do you have the right diagnosis? Okay. Are you getting the right treatment? Sometimes you just need to get the right diagnosis, and that's where you get the right treatment, and it just shifts you. I've seen this change people's lives. I worked with dissociative identity disorder, and it is a very common diagnosis that gets missed for decades. You know, women and men will be in their 40s and 50s, and finally a therapist is able to diagnose it correctly, often because the therapist isn't trained. But by that time, you've gone through a bunch of different therapists, a bunch of different trainings to finally get to the right one. And it's such a painful process for people. And I just feel for them. So if you know, find out, is that the right diagnosis? You know, sometimes people are saying that they have anxiety, but they might have acute PTSD. And you need some trauma therapy or EMDR or something to get in there to help the body to relax. That your body is actually so clogged up from the trauma that you're not even able to like think. and you're struggling to function. Like sometimes we have the wrong diagnosis. So this is where it can be helpful. We got to get the right diagnosis so you can get the right treatment. All right. And number four and five are kind of the same. Number four is, what if you don't have a diagnosis? And number five is, what if you do? And so I asked this one, I started with what if you don't have a diagnosis? Because let's say you are operating in your life thinking that you have this diagnosis, thinking that you're sick, thinking that this is, you know, I am this, I am that. And I want you to just pretend for a moment that maybe you don't. Okay, just pretend. What would that do? What would that change? How would your life be different? And as you start to allow yourself to think about what would be different, how would your life be different? I want you to come back to the diagnosis now. And I want you to ask God, where is there truth in this? Where are the missing pieces? Because it can fill in some gaps that are clogging you up and stopping you from getting freedom. Okay. And then the same thing if, what if you do? This last one I'm going to end with, because I, as a therapist, have seen a lot of damage that people in churches have caused because they ignore mental health issues. Again, we can go to the extreme where we cause it. I've just talked about the Abigail Schreier, where we have too much, you know, people are struggling too much with mental health and their focus is on mental health, everything. My diagnosis is everything. But if the equally is just as difficult, if you ignore that you actually have one, especially in kids and teens, because you're afraid that you're going to go to the wrong therapist and they're going to brainwash them, get the right therapist, okay? Get the right spirit-filled Christian counselor, interview them, talk to them, maybe see things that maybe they've spoke somewhere so you have something so you feel good about where you're going. But it is very dangerous if you have a kid who's struggling with depression so much that it's affecting their functioning at school. They've maybe quit sports. They're starting to have suicidal thoughts. We can't ignore that. Okay. They might need, I don't want to say, I'm hesitant to say this, but sometimes medication can help bridge so that you can function to then get the right help. Again, I'm not a fan of medication forever, but if it's been going on and nothing is helping, you've tried inner healing, you've tried counseling, and you're like, I just need this to bridge it. And then you get the inner healing, you get the counseling, as you bridge it, that physical shift in the body can be helpful. And this is coming, to be honest with you, I'm somebody that I'm not a fan of medication myself. I'm not a fan of diagnosing. When I go to a therapist, I personally pay cash. I don't use my insurance and I don't get a diagnosis for it just because I'm like, I just don't want it personally. It's just me. But I'm saying this also as a therapist, seeing where if we ignore, if there actually is a diagnosis, we can cause more problems because then the issues become underneath and then they don't talk about it. Then they keep it inside and it's where we can see suicidal situations that happen because they didn't actually get to talk about it. So there's a balance with this because again, we can talk about it too much and we can be shoving this in your face. Are you suicidal? Do you have these depression symptoms? And you're like, no, I didn't, but maybe now I do since you're asking me, you know, if we keep bringing it in kids' faces. But the other side of it is, just as worse if you aren't saying like, hey, is there something going on? Do you need to talk about it? And so this is where that connection, community is so very important that us personally, even as adults, as parents, as spouses, that we're in the Word of God, we're in worship, we're spending time with God so that we have that discernment to be able to see, hey, I think this person is struggling. Let's talk to them. That we shouldn't get to the place where it's been years and years and it's been a problem because we've been doing things about it. We've been paying attention. We've been in communion, in relationship with that person to where we know already, okay, I know what's going on. It's because of this. So holding the tension of this, okay, out of all of this, we need to remember that God wants us free. Our circumstances do not determine our level of joy, but they can affect our mental health. And so we want God to be on the throne, not our diagnosis, while still getting the treatment, still tending to those symptoms, okay? 2 Corinthians 3:17 says, Now the Lord is spirit, and where the spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And so we want to allow ourselves to get in the presence of the Lord, ask God to come, show us who he is instead of the lies. And we need breaks from the focus, focus, focus of all the symptoms so we can let God come in. So it's important to kind of have some moments where you play around with God and say, what if I don't have this diagnosis? Help me see who I am. So you can get the truth and you can get those moments of freedom to sink in a little bit more and then go back to treating it, doing the things that you need to do to tend to it. So I hope that this was helpful to kind of get a little bit of balance, to identify maybe some what ifs and some things that we need to do to be able to step into that place of seeking freedom, getting freedom, and maybe have permission to do something that you maybe haven't done before. So I thank you, God, for this time. I thank you for this opportunity to speak on a tough topic. And God, we just right now, we just give you any diagnoses that we have been given, that we've given others, that have been anything that have been spoken over us, God. And we just give them all to you. We give them all to you. We honor the people. We thank you for them, God. We thank you for their expertise and their wisdom, even if they were wrong, even if there's some people that gave us diagnoses that were wrong, God, we forgive them. We forgive anybody that's given us wrong diagnoses. And we still honor them and we thank you for them, God. We bless them. And so right now, I just break any curses that have not been from God, that have been spoken over you in the name of Jesus, intentionally or unintentionally. And I ask for the truth of the powerful Holy Spirit to come in and speak to you right now. That you hear how amazing you are, how free God intends for you to be, and how you can be free right now. That God loves you with an everlasting love, that he died on the cross for you, for the sins you've committed, and for the sins that have been committed against you. And God, we pray for the right doctors, the right expertise, the right inner healings and deliverance ministers, for a right diagnosis for a period of time, God. Help us to not get caught up with the diagnosis being an idol. We put you on the throne, God. But we're not ignoring things that need to be treated, especially if it's affecting our relationships and our work or our schooling. If it's affecting our life, God, we need you to help us. Help us to get the right help. Help us to get the right diagnosis or to get rid of the diagnosis that's not correct. Send us the people. Send us the right situations, the right conversations. Help us to have healthy boundaries where we need to have healthy boundaries. And I thank you, God, that you use so many amazing people to help us to be in that place of freedom. Because you state, God, that we were called to be free. That we don't use our freedom to indulge in the flesh, but to serve one another humbly in love. And so we thank you, God, that you are the God of love, that you are the God of freedom, of peace, of righteousness, and joy. We praise you and we worship you and we give you all the glory. Amen. Thanks for listening to the Strong Tower Mental Health Podcast. If you enjoyed today's episode, please rate and review the show on Apple Podcasts and subscribe wherever you listen. Your review helps the show reach more people and spread mental health awareness with Jesus at the center. You can also check me out on Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, or my website at HeidiMortensonLMFT.com. See you at our next episode.